Spiritual Life Center. Transforming lives as we love, serve, and remember who we are.
One heart.
We greet you in the name of all that is good, all that is sacred, and in the warm and loving energy of this community, Spiritual Life Center. If you're joining us for the first time, we especially want to welcome you because we know that you are not here by accident. You're here by divine appointment. Thank you for joining us on your unique path today, and we hope you enjoy this special message from this past Sunday's service.
Tuning in today on this Father's Day. So happy Father's Day to those who are fathers. Happy Father's Day to those who have played that role as fathers, including many mothers. But also happy Father's Day to those who acknowledge that the Father is within each and every one of us. You know, as I was thinking about Father's Day, and the thought about what that means, I was reminded of a couple of scriptural references that are found in the Bible, first in Ephesians, the 4th chapter and the 6th verse. And that statement says, "One God and Father of all, who is above all, through all, and in all." And of course, they're not talking about a person or a personality, but a principle. Talking about a presence, which is why Jesus the Christ said, "Call no one on earth your Father. Your Father knows what you need before you ask." And I've been reflecting on that statement and how we can honor that presence. And I've been asking, what do we need today? Today's world, what's going on? You know, I ask these questions in light of what it's been going on and the experiences as we've been talking about the last few weeks of the death of George Floyd and more recently the police shooting of Rayshard Brooks that took place in the Wendy's parking lot that prompted a whole new uprising and unrest in the city of Atlanta. And when I thought about Atlanta, it led me to remember a wonderful event that I had the opportunity to be a part of in the early 2000s. And I was being inducted into the Martin Luther King Jr. Board of Preachers. And the event took place at the chapel. It was called the Martin Luther King Chapel. It was at Morehouse College. And that experience had lots of pomp and circumstance. I remember being back in the dressing room and everyone was putting on their robes and their regalia, and it was interesting, you know, for me just to be in a room full of people who they knew that they were important. And they were just getting caught up in the importance of it all. But there was one woman who was there that didn't get caught up in the importance of it all, and, you know, she was sitting next to me, and she happened to be an author. And she had written a book on spiritual values. And she said that she had used that book as a basis for teaching kids and youth in Venezuela. And we had a very nice conversation. But I remember right after that time that the thing that was most memorable to me, we had a chance to tour the chapel by the dean, who was also the professor of religion at the school. And during the tour, he showed us and explained what was called the Wall of Fame. And the Wall of Fame included original portraits of people who have been working in the field of peace, working in the field of global citizenship, diversity, and justice on the planet. And the dean explained that their efforts really served as a foundation for those who would come behind them, those who would come behind those who have laid that work who are going to do more work in the area of justice, not only in this country, but around the world. And of course, the portraits had a whole bunch of them on the wall. I can't remember all of them, but they had Mahatma Gandhi, had a portrait of him, Mary McLeod Bethune, who started Bethune College in Florida, obviously Martin Luther King Jr., and there were a host of others. And when I realized that each of those members on the wall, they had one thing in common. They all lived by and they stood for the eternal beliefs and the spiritual values that reflect the better angels of our nature. Each one of them left a legacy. And those portraits remind us, whether we like it or not, whether or not we believe it or not, we're all going to leave something behind. You know, just like a boat leaves a wake behind it and a ripple behind it, there's a vibration, there's an energy, there's a pattern that all of us leave that we will also have left behind in some way, shape, or form. You know, we have a lot of technological advancements that are taking place on the planet today. And what it has done is led to the creation of somewhat of a, what I call a high tech, low touch society, a high tech, low touch world. And it's created a consciousness of separation and us versus them mentality. And as a result, the qualities of love and peace, the qualities of joy, the qualities of wisdom, the qualities of empathy are sometimes pushed into the background. And it seems as though individuals are sometimes on a feverish quest to get, to hoard, to have more, to sow divisions between people, forgetting that all of us are interconnected. And we know that on that level, what we do to another person, we always do to ourselves. And so this division is sometimes creating a departmentalized consciousness, a split in consciousness, and has caused us to be in a human predicament that we're into right now, and we find ourselves in that predicament, and we have to ask, how can we transcend it? How can we go above it? And I think we have to embody a value system that says that we are here to be of service to a spiritual idea, to spiritual ideas. And this is the new definition of success, to be of service to an idea that comes from spirit. Because when we're service to a spiritual idea, that involved in that idea are everything we could ever hope for, want, or desire, people living together as one family, a world that works for everyone, where everyone is inherently affirming the value of every other individual, and there is a spiritual abundance and transforming knowledge and divine wisdom and compassion and understanding. When we live by a spiritual idea and let that run our life, we have the ability and the willingness to forgive ourselves and others and to be and see things aright. I think this is needed to solve the challenges of the human condition that we find ourselves in today. This is the business that each of us have inherited from the one God, that inherited from the Father that is above all, from the Father presence that is in all and through all. We may call it the force. And this force awaits us. Herein lies the mystery of mysticism. Herein lies the mystery of real spirituality, is that we live in something that is uncaused, because it never had a beginning, it can never have an end, and it always is present. And the moment our attention is lifted into that frequency or into that vibration, that way of being, it appears, the good appears as our life. And from our human point of perspective, we may say, how did you do that? How did that happen? And we have to say, well, we didn't do it. We simply got out of the way. We got out of the way of what was always happening with the presence and the power of love of God, because it's happening all the time. And what we did, we simply stopped preventing it from expressing itself through our life. This is what mysticism is all about. This is what real spirituality is all about. It's about stop preventing our good from taking place. Because all spiritual work is nothing more than removing anything and everything that's somehow blocking the realization of our oneness with each other and our oneness with the presence that we call God. It's already done what we're looking for. It's already done on the spiritual plane. We just have to get in sync with it. We just have to get in sync with what is already happening on the spiritual level. And when we have that understanding, then we begin to understand that you and I cannot use spirituality to succeed. We got to hear that, because it's common today as the consciousness is somehow expanding. The consciousness is rising in many parts of the world. Many people are trying to use spirituality, these spiritual ideas, the spiritual techniques to succeed, but this cannot be done. And we must ask why. That seems to be the normal thing to do, but the reality is spiritual ideas cannot be used. They simply are there already, and they're waiting for a solution to be expressed through us. We can be used by it. It uses us. All it's waiting for is a consciousness that's receptive in us to allow this use to take place and to happen. So we want to hear this. I don't know about you, but when I hear that, it relieves me a lot of burden, because that means I don't have to try to do it on my own might and power and willpower and know-how, and it gives me hope. You know, in the Gospel of Matthew, we are here to become those pure of heart that was 100% in alignment with our purpose for being here on the planet. A spiritual idea is whole already in the mind of God. It cannot be used, but it can be demonstrated. It can be revealed. It can be expressed. We can embody it in and as our life. And once we embody it, we take the action necessary to bring it forth into the world. So we don't look at ourselves and all the challenges that are going on and say, I don't know what to do. Or, you know, I don't have enough talent. Rather, what we say is that I will use the talent that I have and do what I can. We've been asking ourselves our question as we look at the world today and our society today, what is it that we can do? When we do that, then we invoke the law of increase. As Ralph Waldo Emerson once stated, those who do have the power. But if you're waiting to get the power, if you're waiting to get the talent, if you're grinding to wait to get the capability, you will not have it. But if you use what you have, then the talent will proliferate. The force will increase our lot. You know, in light of the death and the killing of George Floyd and the subsequent protest and the pain felt by many in the African-American community, people have asked, how can I be an ally of that community? How can I help? And I ran across an article about a college student at USC. Her name is Autumn Gupta. And she had that same question. Autumn had an African-American college roommate. Her name was Brianna Wallace. And Brianna was hurting as a result of what had taken place. And she called Brianna, and she listened to her. And they spent like 2.5 hours on the phone, and she was speaking with Brianna, and Brianna shared with her her experience of how it felt to her for all these incidents of racial injustice to recur, and there seemed to be no consequences or no retribution. And Autumn, although she was a person of color, she was from India, she was not a member of that community, and she wanted to know how she could learn more. But she didn't want to burden her friend. So what she decided to do is that she needed to engage in her own self-education. And she asked herself, where do I begin? She realized there was a lot of information on social media, suggestions of books to read, shows and movies to watch, podcasts to listen to, petitions that she could sign. And that led her to create what she said, a Google document about how to fight racism. And the document unexpectedly drew thousands of readers. And she turned it into a website. And then Autumn, as well as her friend, began to ask ourselves other questions. How do we allow more of the country to know about this history that people don't know about? And Gupta said she needed to do something more. So every day for a month, for the month of June, she began with two books. She had seen them discussed, and they were already kind of on her reading list. And one was by Ibram Kendi's, How to Be an Anti-Racist. And the other was Robin DiAngelo's, White Fragility. And so she began planning out her assignments. She had a whole, you know, spreadsheet of when she was going to do things. And she created a curriculum. And she wanted to make accessible to her mother and her sister, as well as to her friends. And as a result, she came up with something called Justice in June. And you can go on the website and find it. And what it is a learning plan for anyone wanting to be an ally of the Black community. And the document was intended really just to be for a small group of friends and just some of her family members. But it quickly was viewed by over 180,000 users across the planet. People had tweeted about it. There were about almost 2 million tweets from it. A construction company in Atlanta asked to use it to guide their diversity program. Universities and consulting firms and community foundations soon began to do the same thing. And there was one 65-year-old man who, his name was Sean, and he was immune compromised, I believe, and he wanted to attend the protest, but he couldn't. So this is a way that he could, you know, participate. And he sent a note to Gupta and her roommate to thank them for giving him a way to feel involved. But it all started with a conversation. It all started with an idea that came through her. You know, when we study our genesis, when we study where we really came from, which is really an idea in the mind of God. We're an idea in the mind of God. And we contain every good idea that God has ever thought within us. And when we keep our attention there, our entire life experience, healing the ills of the country, harmonious relationships that we long for, treating everyone as if they matter, and all that stuff that sometimes on the human level we think we're working so hard to make happen, when we begin to connect on that level, those things will become second nature. And we will simply place our attention on God, accept the higher possibilities in every area of our life, and then the life force will take us over. It will guide us. It will lead us. It will direct us. And we will do our part just as that student did her part. And as we do our part, whatever it may be, asking the question, what is mine to do? We'll look up one day. We'll discover the universe provides the increase. We'll look up one day and we'll see ourselves living in a world of harmony and respect for each other. We'll look in a world in which we have appreciation of everyone, regardless of background, and everything will work together for our good. This is a divine plan waiting to be expressed. And it's not something that we're thinking about making happen. What we're simply doing is making it welcome by being open and receptive to it. And what we're doing is simply pedaling. We're running fast as we can to get out of the way of what's happening so it doesn't overrun us, because we're serving a spiritual idea from the grandpapa. And it simply says, and the grandpapa said, I am what I am, and besides me, there is no other. Yes. Now go and tell that, because that is the truth. So we are right now to have a moment-by-moment encounter with the Father God presence, the force, and nothing less than that, so that we can be of service to those spiritual ideas. And don't let anybody fool you. It is not for the specially chosen people, because we have all been specifically and specially chosen by the presence of God to be of service to these ideas, these spiritual ideas that are proliferating everywhere. And they're just waiting for a consciousness that's big enough, bold enough, courageous enough to receive it. And when that happens, we will meet genuine success that is beyond measure of any way, shape, or form. This is our commission. This is our charge. This is why we are here, to be of service to those spiritual ideas that come from the divine Father presence that is everywhere. Peace and blessings to you. Peace and blessings.
We are grateful for the opportunity to share with you today and hope you've taken something from this Sunday's message. If you'd like to hear more from Spiritual Life Center, be sure to click subscribe on the podcast platform you're listening from. You can find out more about our community on our website at www.slcworld.org. We look forward to being a part of your continued spiritual journey. Wherever you are, God is, and all is well. Spiritual love.